the truth, you say? You want the truth? What truth is there when insanity knocks at your door? Bang! Bang! Night after night it stands at your door. Bang! Bang! Louder it gets until all other sounds are cast aside and the only thing left is the repeated sound! Bang! 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 Answer it, will you not? Or are you too scared to face the truth behind the sounds lingering at your door? Insanity! It drifts through this land like a sickness that can't be cured! Watching as your loved ones are torn apart, as their insides are slurped down like a fine soup fit for a king! Monsters, you say? Creatures acting upon only instinct and you call them monsters? What about a king that fucks his daughter against her will? Is he a monster? Oh no! No, 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 not a king! A king could never be a monster based on one simple thing. Humanity! You all make me sick! Sitting in your high castles, protected by thick stone walls, telling lies to everyone around you, including the ones you love. Humans, humans are the sickness that plagues this land. The virus that has a tight grip, eating away from the inside out. Is there no one that can save us from this insanity? Will our king save us? Sitting on their thrones, drinking fine wines and producing inbred offsprings? I think not. Maybe the gods! Ha! Ha! What have the gods ever done for you? For us! And what of the witchers, you ask? What would a witcher have to gain from Vavengula? There are no witcher schools for stolen young boys to be trained to the death, to become the perfect monster-killing machine. There have been no monsters until now. Of course there are no witchers here in Vavengula. You are stupid to think that they might come, riding on a horse as if a shining knight, here to save a princess trapped in a tall tower. This is not a story of a witcher. This is the story of the insanity that plagues the lands of Vavengula. Can anyone save us? Or are we left to the insanity?
So, first off, let me welcome everybody to the Vavengula Islands. This is the world that I have created for our new Witcher campaign. For all those that are listening, you should probably know that if you've been listening to our first campaign, that season one just came to an end and we've had our season finale. And as I rewrite some things and write some new things for season two, we will be playing in this campaign. This campaign is called The Chronicles of Vavengula. So without further ado, With me, as always, the same three people that were playing in EDDS. We have Beef, we have Witcher, and we have Barbies.
Hi.
Witcher will be playing our Witcher character. His name is Esten. And we'll get into description of characters once we actually start. But just so everybody knows that's listening, Beef will be playing a ranger human named Cass Silver. And Bear Beast will be playing a female sorceress named Katrina Flamebringer. All right. Well, let's hop right into it. We see the open sea. You hear a loud gust of wind and sails flapping in the wind of a big ship. We see what you would think is a human man standing at the edge, looking off into the distance. This is our first character, Esten. What you see, Esten, is you can see Evercroft in the distance. And why don't you go ahead and give a brief description of your character?
All right. So Esten is a witcher of the Viper school. He wears light armor and focuses on the use of two steel short swords against humanoids. And as any other witcher, when he fights against monsters, he uses his silver longsword. If you look at, can they see it? If you look at the profile picture that I have here on Roll20, yep, he looks pretty exact like that. So he has a green light armor with a bit of fur around his shoulders. He has no hair. He has shaved it, and he has a scar of three claws that go all the way back here to his head. And yeah, he's currently at the boat on his way to Evercroft because he just finished his Witcher training and has left the school of the Viper, which is, by the way, located in like the southern part of Nilfgaard. And he has heard tales and rumors of a group of islands where a new threat of monsters had appeared. And he saw a contract for that, and he saw work there that needs doing, witch's work. And so he made his way to Vavengula Island.
Yes. And that is where you're starting, is on this ship. Now, it has been a long journey, months of sea travel to get here. This is on the opposite side of the world from where you come from. You have found I wouldn't call them pirates, but people in Vavengula do consider these people pirates, and they call them the Griffinfall Pirates. Mm. You can recognize the Griffinfall Pirates as their sails are black with red stitching of a griffin's head. It's like the silhouette of a griffin's head, and it's in red thread. You would know, just traveling so long, that you've kind of got to know the crew a bit. And you've also got to know, more importantly, the captain. Captain Olin D. Jinx.
Olin D. Jinx. Uh-huh.
That is the captain's name. This man is he's a very interesting man, not what you would kind of consider someone that would be a part of a pirate crew. He is one, which is his most distinctive feature, is he's an elf, which is another kind of weird thing. And give me one second.
One of the elder races.
Yes, he is an elf.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know, but you would kind of think that he really likes black and red. Jinx wears a black sleeveless vest that is accompanied by three red buttons. The vest is always unbuttoned, showing a large scar that runs across his chest, a single scar. On the back of his vest, again, just like the sails, there is a red silhouette of a griffin's head. stitched with like a blood red thread. It's a very dark red. He wears black loose pants, kind of what you would think a pirate would wear as pants. They don't all go like all the way down to his ankle, but stop right before the ankle. Mm. And then he wears red, or not red boots, but dark black red boots. He also, what is also interesting about this man is he dual wields two rapiers. So he has two belts that cross over his chest, but the rapiers are like upside down in their shield, like their hilts. So he would pull them like down and out.
Ooh, so okay. Kind of so like not that. Attached to his hips like a normal yeah. sword is?
Yeah, which is another thing is nobody wears their swords like you two do. Nobody wears swords on the back.
True.
Or upside down, which is like, how the fuck do they even stay? But that is something else. he has a scar that runs down his right eye. And he also wears this really dark black eyeshadow that makes his blue eyes just really pop. Both of his ears are pierced. The left one has three piercings. The right one has two. Mm-hmm. His face looks really kind of like sunburnt. Like it's just like a really almost, he doesn't really look like an elf because he spends all of his day on a ship in the sun. So it's been kind of tan, more tan than your typical elf would be. And yeah, that's him. And so you're standing out looking to Evercroft and he says, ah, Witcher, that's Evercroft. We've finally made it after our long journey. You must be eager to spill yes, the blood of monsters here.
Well, indeed. I hope there's work here that needs doing and that the rumors hold some grain of truth. It's been a long journey.
Well, I can tell you that I don't spend too much time here, but I do enjoy going to the beaches. They have nice sandy beaches. You should take a trip to Dustacre if you have the time for some much needed R&R you might need. But
what can you tell me about these islands, about Evercroft?
Evercroft, very large city, largest city here in Vavengula, first to be established too, if you believe the stories. Of course, have you heard of the Clubberbead, the King Clubberbead? And
No, even though I'm from Nilfgaard, I'm a foreigner to these lands.
I see. First time then. Yes, he is what a lot of people think as a good king. Very gracious, listens to his people. But his grandfather is the one that actually found these lands. Nilfgaardian, in fact, he was. Very Nilfgaardian. And they found these lands, quite a long time ago. Over 100 years now, I would say.
Hmm.
Very mysterious lands these are. You see, this is the main island that we're sailing across past. And if you looked off a little to your right, you would see the rest of Brightcaster Island. You guys are probably passing through Dustacre, and you do see a large, almost Egyptian-style palace. But it is far, far off in the distance. And that's Dustacre right over there, actually. And, yes, there's not much known about these lands except for Brightcaster Island and the little island we passed to get into this cove is Wakeshard Island.
And who is in charge of Evercroft?
Evercroft would be, none other than Florian Clubberbead's grandchild, Volgar Clubberbead. Like I said, he is a very gracious king, and I believe was the one that sent off the Witcher contract that I believe you've picked up.
Yes.
You guys continue your conversation.
So where on the map is our ship currently? Have you already reached Evercroft Bay?
You'd be like around this area. You're not in Evercroft Bay yet. Right. You're passing by Dustacre. You probably have I would say a few more. Actually, you'd be a lot closer than that. I'd say you're about.
So we're just about to enter the Evercroft Bay.
Yeah, you probably got another solid 3 to 4 hours of sailing time.
Okay.
So, As you, it's sticky, it's hot. You might already be sweating. It's a very tropical place, these lands. And you notice that it seems like a really nice place you'd want to visit. Mm-hmm. Like to your right, you can see nice sandy white sand beaches. And right, if you were to walk to the front of the ship, you would see this massive jungle right next to this just booming city that is surrounded by trees. And that is actually where we're going to kind of leave you off. And the camera kind of pans over into Evercroft, breaks through the front doors of the castle, and we are going to go to Ketrin, Flamebringer.
Yep.
You have been training to become a mage, a sorceress, I should say, not a mage. Why don't you give us a description of Ketrin Flamebringer and a bit of her backstory?
Okay, so Ketrin Flamebringer, Ketrin Flamebringer is a human. She's a standard human with flaming red hair tied up in a ponytail, with a little bit of her locks hanging down her down in the front. And she has amber skin, so she's a little bit tan, and red eyes, so a lot of red. Her clothing are pure, or almost pure black. There's a little bit of white in it, and a little bit of brown as well. So mostly darkened color to fit with the red, red hair and like her look. Other than that, her her personal traits are more like she takes great effort in looking her best at all time, and she has no hierarchy. So she tends to have respect everybody, if okay. They of course respect her. She tend to, hey, I need my respect, and then I'll respect others. And is on her loyalty to the master is like honorary. So if you see people talking shit about her mentor, yeah, they're gonna get. And then there's a little secret about her as well, but that will probably come up at some point.
Reveal itself in yeah. time, hopefully not at the wrong time.
not in session one.
No.
Maybe.
As Ceramic said, she is a sorcerer, and it is the draconic bloodline sorcerer from 5th E, if anybody was interested in what it was. Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
So it's early in the morning. You are getting ready to have a probably fairly boring day at court. Whether you like these duties of court or not, your master believes it's good for you to show you all sides of being a king's wizard, sorceress, mage, what they have to go through. It's their daily routine. This is when the king, today in particular, is when he opens the doors to the castle. Any civilian can come in and bring, you know, known issues to his attention, see what they can do. Any people that are having conflict with each other that needs a higher power to resolve it, they will be there. Just, it's kind of for the townspeople to come see their king and talk to their king face to face.
Yes.
So you are in your room doing your hair, you know, doing what you would need to do to look presentable at the at court, and all of a sudden you hear a knock at the door, and you hear the voice of your master, who is, for all everybody's sake, his name is Wydrid Udmat. He is an elf. He's got blonde hair, green eyes, and he wears your standard like wizarding robes that are kind of like a dark green in color. And he knocks on your door and, Katrina, Are you awake? Are you ready to go? Court is in 30 minutes.
Yes, just a minute.
Well, hurry up. We must not keep our king waiting.
I know.
So he's going to stand outside of the door and wait for you until you are ready.
I will. Just, you go.
Just one thing. If you mention those names, can you type them here in the chat? So
yeah.
Like, I would love to write them down.
Yeah.
And also, again, the name of the captain
okay.
of the ship. Just trying to keep some notes, and I don't want to misspell anything.
Okay. So, yeah. Just waiting for your character to get all finished. And once you're ready, we will have our walk to the courtroom.
Yes. I'll finish up and tie my hair back to the ponytail. And okay. just do a little bit of prestidigitation before leaving the room and meeting my mentor.
Just making you smell good and look good. And all right. When you open the door, you see your master. He is looks at you, says, "Ah, of course. Always having to finish up with the final touches, I see. Good to see some things never change over the years." You guys slowly walk to the court. Are you looking forward to today's court? I have a feeling something interesting might happen.
It's going to be the same old, same old.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just have a feeling that today is going to bring something unexpected.
What is it that you don't that you're not telling me?
Oh,
you know nothing. I don't like surprises.
Well, if I would know, I would tell you, of course. I see, Katrin, but I fortunately just have a feeling that something different will come through our doors today. But you could be right. It might just be the typical bring-ins of today, but I don't know.
Well, we'll have to see.
Yes. And as you guys talk, you're walking in a beautiful palace. I mean, marble flooring, nice sketched out walls, about every 10, that'd be way too close. About every 50 foot, there is a nice carved column that would be like a support column, but it's very decorative with engravings, and the floor is, like I said, just a really nice marble. It's very clean. You pass maids and just, you know, the king's hand just going about, running frantically, just running about doing their daily chores. And then you you take a left, you take a right, and then you walk down some stairs into the throne room, which is an ungodly sized room. It's huge. You could fit a dragon in here. The ceilings are 200 feet tall. There's nice those like paned glass windows that you see in churches around the whole top of the thrones room, because it comes to like a dome. It's like a giant dome, so it's curved, and on the dome where it curves is a bunch of painted stained glass windows that's bringing in a nice light. You guys walk up to the king, and there you see Volgar Clubberbead, the king of Evercroft. He is dark haired. It's like blackish brownish hair with green eyes. He's human, Nilfgaardian, in fact. He's around 36 years of age. He's wearing his nice, they never took Nilfgaardian's way, so they don't wear their colors. He, in fact, is wearing a nice, like, white and gold trimmed, don't know exactly what to call it, but it's like something imagine a king would wear. Like, there's a top part, like, not a t-shirt, it's long sleeve, it's got nice cuffs, a nice button that's like not going up the middle, but off to the right. So there's like a longer flap that comes over to the right, and then buttons with gold buttons, and then a matching pants as well. Then that go into like really nicely fine, like it's like a dust color shoe with gold trim. And he wears rings on his fingers. He's got a couple necklaces on, and he's even got some piercings in his ears, but it's all gold. He looks like a king, and on top of his head sits a crown. Him and Wydrid have a short conversation, just casual talk. He addresses you. And then the people start coming in, and your day at court begins. That is where we're going to leave you off. And the camera breaks out the front doors and shoots up into the sky and then starts going towards the Dakuru jungles, which is the jungles outside of Evercroft. Zooms into a farm that is right outside of Evercroft. And these farms are called the Honey Birch Farms. There we see a young man standing, doing what he might be doing on a typical day. His name is Cass Silver, and that is Beef's character. Why don't you give us a brief description of your character and backstory?
Right. Well, my guy's called Cass Silver, given to him by his master, who he just calls either master or old man, who took him in when he was basically a baby. He was left at the farms by some travelers that came by. They was trying to sell him. And then his master pushed forward that maybe you don't need to sell him and I'll just take him off your hands kind of deal. So he did just that. So yeah, his master is Sundor Silver. And he is an old elf. He's a hunter in these, I'd say in these parts, but he's been a hunter for a long time. So his own parents taught him how to hunt, and then he's tried passing it down. And yeah, he met Cass, and he met a baby. And he gave him the name Cass. Trained him best he could with all the knowledge he knows, which is a long time for an elf, because he's an old elf. Tried to instill all his knowledge of hunting onto Cass, and now Cass is in his mid to late 20s. He's not really been anywhere else other than these farms and Evercroft. And in the Dakaru jungle, where they do most of their hunting. So Cass is medium build, about 5'9", long, messy brown hair. Normally wears a dark green cloak with a hood. And underneath that, he just has just like a dark green gambeson underneath. Mainly like, I'd say light armor, but he has like some leather hints to it.
Okay.
He has a quiver and bow on his back, and he also has a short sword on his side.
All right. So that is our third player, Cass, character that will be a part of this story. And like he was saying, he grew up in the Honey Birch Farms, which is, for the listeners, I need to remember to do this, it is north, about a half day's walk from the castle of, or from the kingdom of Evercroft, or I should say city of Evercroft. Honey Butch Farms is a very, very small village. It's with the name, I'm sure you could guess, but it specializes in honey. There is a nice like honey shop there, and the only one in Vavengula that you can find honey infused anything, jams, butters, ales, just anything you could think you could put in honey is here. They specialize in honey creation products that they even have some healing properties. You can buy certain ones that have healing properties to them. And it's, like I said, a very small farm. There's about 300 people that live here. And yeah, there's... that's pretty much all to Honey Birch Farms. So what would you be doing? What would Cass be doing on just a daily? It's about the same time. It's early in the morning, maybe getting ready to go hunting. I don't know. You tell us, what would Cass be doing?
He would be probably going through the animals that are kept in the area. Just doing a quick, like he normally does in the morning, doing morning patrol around the area.
Like doing a walk around the...
A walk around the area, because there's been some things that have happened and he doesn't know how to explain them. And they've basically been told to... he's been told by his master to basically stay vigilant.
Yes, with monsters lingering, the farm has been attacked once or twice, not anything too crazy. There are other hunters there. There's like a group of you guys. So there's a few guards that do patrol there, but not many. Maybe as many as like 20 for 300 people at best. So it's more you and the guard. So you've had a little experience with monsters, but nothing crazy. I mean, shooting from a distance.
Yeah, that's all he's done. Hasn't seen anything close up to about 50, 60 meters.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to get anywhere close to these things because he doesn't know what the hell they are.
Yeah, exactly. So you see our Cass Silver, he's walking around into town, and down at his feet, what may accompany him, or you can choose, but there is a little fox that always follows Cass around. Why don't you describe him real fast and tell him his name? And
So Cass has a little companion friend, and his companion friend is called Kage. He's a little gray and black fox, predominantly gray, but he's got a black face and black tail, black feet. Basically, he's been following Cass around for, well, I'd say a few years. He pops in and out every now and then just to say hi or whenever Cass needs him. He's just a little fox, pretty much. But whatever Cass says to him, you can ask him to do things. And Kage normally just goes ahead and does it, like a little companion friend.
Yeah. All right. So you are walking through the town and you actually see your master. He's just picking up some food from the marketplace. I don't know if you want to approach him or not, but that is up to you.
Yeah. No. Cass goes over and approaches him. He says, master, let me tailor those bags for you.
Oh, Cass.
Holds his hands out to tailor bags.
On our morning patrol, as I see, as normal, how is everything looking?
Yeah, seems to be no problems in town. A couple of the families, they heard some noises in the night, but I don't think it was monster related. I think it was more animals just trying to get into the feed.
Well, that's good. That's good. These are troubling times we find ourselves in. Indeed. I'm worried that we're going to need better protection than just what we have now. Might be smart to make a travel to the King of Evercroft, even though I know we've done this before. And seems like times are hard for Evercroft as well with monster attacks.
Yeah, at this stage, it's like talking to a brick wall. As soon as you get past the certain level of guards, get even to the palace, as soon as you start asking for protection, you kind of get like shunned away a little bit. But even so, I think it's safe to say that a lot of other places, I mean, Evercroft has got walls. Can't see them having a huge beast problem, but us outside the walls, we need help. More than the 20 guards or so that they offer us.
Yes, I agree. I wish I was a young lad as yourself for it. I'd find some way, which makes me think maybe it's time for you to leave Honey Birch Farms and in search of some sort of protection. Everything has a weakness.
Where should I look? I have nowhere to go. I mean, all I've known is the farms, and the jungle. I mean, past that, what you've told me in teaching, I know the island's vast. and I know there is many islands, but are they going through the same thing that we're going through? Crossing the bridge at Shadow Grove, are they going through it over there near Illingfall? Are they going through it down at Dustacre? I just don't know. Do I need to go that far to find help? What if I'm gone and the village is attacked?
Well, all good, very good points. Taught you I have, and nothing left I have to teach you. It is time, I think, that, well, we will wait for the right time. I'm not saying leave today, but... And to answer your questions, I am not sure. But something I do know is we need to find some sort of protection. And you are probably our best bet. We have the other hunters and the guardsmen. And if we get attacked again, maybe our gracious king will send us more troops.
Okay. This afternoon we need to go over some maps, figure out the best route to go, to find possible help. I may even end up heading into Evercroft to go see the king to see about sending some guards over whilst I'm away. Maybe another handful, maybe another 10 guards if possible, 10 or 15. And maybe we have set up some like manned posting in known areas.
It's not a bad idea at all, I'd say, but I will finish my things in the market and I'll meet you back at the house and we can go over maps and stuff.
Okay. Well, shall I head into Evercroft now and go see the king? And then head back to the homestead once I'm finished, and then we can go over the maps then.
Well, that is up to you. If you're done with your patrols and daily things that you like to do, that is up to you. You're old enough now to make your own decisions.
Okay, well, seeing as our hunt last time was cut short due to that deer, I think most of my day would be spent hunting or training my skills, but as you say, you think I'm ready, so I'm going to head into Evercroft to go see the king and see about possibly getting some more protection for the farms whilst I'm away, because I don't know how long I'm going to be.
Sounds great. Well, I will see you this evening then. Make haste, as I would not like you to get stuck out in the darkness on your travels.
Likewise, you get home safe, and I'll catch you this evening.
And he like pats you on your shoulder, and then goes to another stall to buy some vegetables and stuff for a stew that he's probably going to make for dinner. All right, so you hop on your horse and head to Evercroft. So it's on horseback, it's a day, or it's not a day, I'm sorry, it's a half day's horse ride if you were just to like not be galloping, right? So if you're just at a standard standard pace on a horse, it'd take you half a day. If you were like in a full gallop, you could probably make it there in like 4 hours. So
I would do half and half. So I would gallop in the open stretches, gallop through. Then when it gets like windy and slower, I'd go down to more of a canter, kind of be a slow trot, as it were.
So we see Cass right off towards Evercroft, cape billowing in the wind, on horseback. And that's where we'll leave you as you travel to Evercroft, and we will go back to Eston. You are docked and you are like unloading your horse right now at Evercroft. You say your farewells and thank the captain and you are now standing in front of the dock district of Evercroft. There are so many people here. This might be the biggest place you ever have been. Evercroft is populated by 10,000 people. That's how big it is. And Captain Jinx did point you in the direction of the castle, so you kind of have a good idea of the castle. He also let you know, like, the market would be, like, off to the left, and that is also where, like, the inn and the bathhouses would be.
Right, right. Yeah, Aston looks around. What does the air smell like?
Salty and fishy right here. You are, like I said, you are at the docks, the dock districts. You smell salt in the air. You can smell fish. You also get a, almost like you pick up with your Witcher nose and your heightened, a bit like heightened senses more than a human. You can smell a bakery, nice fresh breads, coming off to the left, kind of where, Captain Jinx said the marketplace would be. You are overwhelmed with different sounds in your ears, chopping of fish like a knife, like a butcher knife against a cutting board, people talking, laughing, just the sounds of a city.
Right. Where to go first? So first of all, Essen will walk down from the pier towards the center of the city.
Okay.
Passing by some people, workers, I guess, and making his way down the streets. I think he will go straight to the castle on the most direct way to it, and picking up all the different points of interest in the city. Yeah, like you said, the marketplace, bathhouse, and whatever he may find on his way towards the castle.
Yeah.
What can he spot on his way there? Is there anything else?
Yeah, so the castle does sit fairly centered in the city. And just because you don't know exactly where you are, or exactly where you can see the castle towering over everything, but the way you ended up going was through the market. It's a very, very lovely market, obviously, this being the biggest city in Vavengula. And there is about everything you could ever want to buy here. You see a bathhouse with drunken men stumbling out of it and into it. And there's like a balcony with some of the women, and there's guys up there just having a great time drinking. You pass a inn, the doors are wide open. That is something you notice. Almost every building that you would think would be like, oh, this might be a shop of some sort, their doors are wide open. Their windows are open. It's very hot. This is tropical. Again, this is a very tropical place. And just for anybody that cares, it is September right now.
Oh, that's good to know.
just to let everybody know, there is no snow here. It gets like the coldest it might get would be like 70 degrees Fahrenheit. So kind of like a California-esque, lower California, Arizona kind of feel to it. You pass a place that's just, the whole front of the store is just nothing but windows, and then an arched doorway that's made out of nice stone, and you see just delicious baked treats. There's a sign hanging, and you read the sign. It says a tasty treat, and it's a bakery. You pass a...
Would I also blacksmith. Have spotted, like, yeah, a blacksmith or an alchemist shop?
Yeah, there's so you actually, they're kind of lined up next to each other. There is, first comes a tailor shop. You see like a figure, like a clay figure that is got clothes on it, really fine clothes. And you kind of make that out to be the tailor shop. You see right next to it, loud hammers are banging against metal, and you see a blacksmith That and there's a sign hanging that says fire and steel, and you hear the roar of the fucking what is it called?
Hammer and anvil.
No, it's the place furnace. Where they stick the blade furnace. Yes,
the forgery.
The forgery. You just hear the roar of the heat that's coming, and you feel the heat coming off it. And then next to it, it's not an alchemist shop, or not right next to it, but you keep walking, and maybe 100 feet down the road, there is a there's a sign hanging down a shop that has got like two hands that are put together in like a praying form, and there's like a nice yellow glow to the hands, and it says a healing hand, and it's like a healer's shop, which would have like alchemy supplies and stuff to buy there. And you walk through the market, and then you finally see the entrance to Evercroft Castle. There's a big arched stone, nice stone bridge that goes over a river that cuts the city in half. There's this big river that goes through Evercroft and it cuts it in half. And on the other side, there are just steps and steps and steps up to two doors that are these giant, just giant double doors. There's one on the right and one on the left, and they are both open as well, allowing people to walk directly into the castle. There are guards about. You do see full plated, it looks like Nilfgaardian steel. You can tell that, but it's not painted the same. Obviously, it's painted in the white and gold trim that you will soon see the king is also in. The whole castle is kind of painted in this beautiful white color, and there's gold trim everywhere, and it's just beautiful. And the castle is ginormous. Like I said, it looks like you could fit a full-size dragon in it, no problem.
Man, this city certainly looks to be as alive as some of the major Nilfgaardian cities.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so if everyone can walk freely into the castle, Essen will make his way into the castle.
Yep, yeah, you can. Nobody stops you. The guards definitely look at you because you're very, like, you have a lot of
weapons on you. I guess they've never seen The Witcher.
Well, they've never seen a Witcher, and they don't know that, like, they don't necessarily look you in your eyes, so they can't see, like, that your eyes are different than, you know, a normal human's or even a halfling's or dwarf's eyes. Like, nobody's really taken that close of attention. There's so many people here. So seeing a guy walk through with swords and stuff is, like, that's common. Nobody's really going to bat an eye. Everybody, almost everybody is, you know, armed with some sort, because now monsters, people are kind of frightened, but you don't necessarily get that feeling in Evercroft. Maybe it's due to the size of Evercroft, and maybe monster attacks don't happen here very frequently. You don't know, you're just kind of assuming.
But so then I would enter through the main doors, and I assume I come into some entry hall.
Yes.
Is there like a reception or the heralds to go to for audiences? So, or
you walk through you either choose the left or the right side of double doors, and you walk through this, and you see this long hallway with just stairs leading up. On the stairs are nice blue and white and gold like rugs, right? That have nice, like almost elvish designs on them. And there's somebody right in front of you that's climbing them, and that looks like just a normal townsfolk, and you kind of follow them up and up and up these stairs, and you keep climbing the stairs, and you finally are just this giant room. And that at the end of the room, up against the wall, there's like this raised platform with a few stairs that come up to it, and then on top of that platform there's another raised platform with a couple more stairs, and there you see the king of Evercroft, and next to him there is a older elvish looking wizard, and next to them is a red-haired sorceress, which is Katrin. There is not too big of a line, but there's a little bit of a line. And so you do have to wait your turn.
And I line up in the queue, I guess.
Yeah, there's like
a civilized person.
There's like five people.
Yeah, that doesn't sound too long.
Yeah, it's not too bad. There's somebody talking to the king right now about traveling. You kind of
so the king is on the king is on one of these platforms, and
yeah, so it's
yeah,
so one raised platform with stairs like coming up on the side, and then on that platform there's another platform with a couple, like it's like three or four stairs. It's not a climb at all. And that is where the king sits. And then right is where you see Katrin and her master.
And they handle the visitors.
Yeah, you see right now you see a man kneeling and he's talking. He's asking for some protection to get to the Honey Birch Farms.
All right. Yeah, I stand in the queue and wait my turn.
All right, Katrin, give me a perception check.
Okay, first roll. Oh, no.
First roll of this campaign. The honor is yours.
I want to see if you notice a Witcher, if he's a Witcher or not. Well, you don't know what a Witcher is. Well, you kind of
14.
Yeah, that's enough. You see this man walk in, heavily armed, and he just has a different stance than everybody else in the room. And you do catch his eyes. His eyes are yellow and they're slit. The pupils are slits, so like a viper.
Okay.
And at this point, Cass, you are arriving at the front gates. They're open. There's your typical guard standing there, high walls, and you see crossbowmen just lined every like 10 feet. There's a guy with a crossbow just standing, looking out from where you were coming from. And you can ride your horse in the city. There's like stables off to the left when you first enter. So you walk through the front gate and like, obviously you can see, but there are places all over the city to like tie your horse to. It's not a stable. It's not covered, but it's like a little horse post. Right. It's like a little two stone posts with one in the middle, and people just tie their horses up to it. So you can either choose to stable your horse at the stables, which would cost money, or you can just ride your horse to the castle.
I'd like to ride my horse to the castle.
Okay. You ride up to the front of the castle, and again, you see the curved, nicely stone bridge that goes over the river. And then just that's where you would like, once you get over to that, there's the walls of the castle, because there's walls around the castle. You can go through the gate. And then right once you get past that gate is like off to the left is where you can tie up your horse.
Yeah, I do that. I tie up the horse and walk through the main gate, main doors.
Like I said before, it's some stairs up to the gate, to the double doors. There's one on the right, one on the left. They're open. You walk up, you are greeted with a hallway with a bunch of stairs, again, with the nice elvish rugs that go down the stairs. You walk up the stairs and you are person. Huh? Yeah.
Before I went up the stairs to whistle Kage to come over and hop on my shoulders.
Yeah.
As we walk upstairs.
Yeah. And by the time you get up to the stairs, you are two people behind the Witcher, Esten.
Okay.
I'm gonna be a real bad habit because everybody's gonna call you Witcher once they figure out you're a Witcher instead of Esten. Yeah. Nobody's gonna care about your name. Everybody's gonna be like, "Hey, Witcher, you're the Witcher." Oh yeah, that's the Witcher.
might be a problem, but wait, fine.
Maybe might be depending on his reputation.
How tall is Esten?
I don't know, Esten. How tall are you?
He's not super tall. He's to like 5.5 feet tall, so average human size, 5 to 6 feet.
Okay, so the people, so the two people in front of me, behind him, would I be able to notice, obviously, the behind of him, so I can only see the back of him, obviously looking up and down the queue as I do in real life, You look up to
He'd
stand out, right?
Yes, he does stand out. Everybody that's in this line is it. Even you stand out in the line. Everybody that's in this line is an unarmed townsfolk. Okay, commoner, not rich at all, like just a common townsfolk. They're not, there might be like one or two person in like rags, because not obviously everybody makes the same amount of gold a day. So there might be like one or two of them are wearing like dirty rags and not homeless status. Like they don't look homeless, but you can tell, hey, they don't probably make too much money. And then you see a long sword with an emblem at the top of a viper. It's you can tell, you don't even have to be a blacksmith, you can tell this is a very, very nicely crafted sword. And you kind of like, as you lean over to the left and then you lean over to the right, you see on his hips again very nicely crafted short swords, and at the tip of those they both have viper emblems as well. Your character probably has heard of witchers. You have definitely never seen one. You don't know that there's, you might know there's different schools, but you wouldn't know like the schools, like, oh, there's a school of the wolf, the griffin. Like you'd be like, huh, maybe he's like part of a guild. And then of course his armor is different than typical armor too. It just looks very finely crafted. You can tell that he is, everything about this person is meant to kill something.
Okay, so
he is not your standard. He's not even your standard guard. He doesn't look like a guard. He looks like a straight up just, fuck, I don't know if I want to mess with this guy kind of thing. So
looking up and down the line, I see him standing out, kind of obviously stands out. Seeing all the things you mentioned and trying to piece it together in my head, like, I know what a witcher is, sort of. I've heard of the tales. Not 100%, like, don't put two and two together and think, oh, this guy's a witcher. Yeah. I'm just looking at him thinking, he's different. He's clearly not from around here. And then looking more up and down the line, do I recognize anybody in the line?
Yeah. You actually give me a perception roll before I say anything.
Oh.
Just to see, because you're looking at the back of people's heads. The Witcher, I didn't make you roll for because he's like almost right in front of you. So,
Perception.
You see another guy that's wearing a bow and has the same clothes as you, and you'd be like, "Is he from the hunting? Is he one of the hunters? I don't know. He kind of, I don't know." That's all you can tell.
Hey, Dave. I say quietly.
The guy like right in front of you like looks behind. He's like, "No, what? Somebody's talking to the king." Shh. He's like, "Shh, somebody's talking to the king."
My point. Shh, yourself. All right, I just go back in line. I just
Aston like hears this.
Oh yeah, you definitely
looks
hear
a bit behind him, but not commenting it.
Yeah. So the guy that's talking to the king right now is, I'm just asking for like three guards at most. I'll pay whatever their going rate is. I need three. I'm trying to get to the Honeybridge Farms. And then from there, I'm trying to get to Shadow Grove. And I know the jungle is kind of to go through right now with like, you know, the monsters. And it'd be really nice to have some protection because I have some like really important stuff that I need to get to Shadow Grove. And
Cass leans out the line. He hears this conversation going on. He's like,
you guys can all, since it's so big and everybody like you're kind of everybody standing quietly,
the so people we can that like are all talking, hear what they are talking about.
Everybody's close enough, you don't need any perception checks or anything like that. Everybody can hear this because he's talking in his normal voice, like he's not trying to be quiet about this or anything. So, and Volgar says, I'm having enough issues dealing with the monster attacks at the bridge that is being built right now, that is next to Shadow Grove. I'm sorry, I
I wish I could help you. There is a mercenary guild. Maybe you could find somebody at the docks. I don't have any sparing men to help you with. All my men are going to try to kill this monster that is just devastating the workers and the process of building this bridge. And I don't need to tell you how important this bridge is for trading purposes. And you hear the other gentleman say, oh, I do understand. It would even help me as a trader. Okay, I just thought I would try to ask. And the king stands up and walks to this man and like helps him up off his knees because he was like bowing like on one knee as he was asking for him. He says, like I said, there is a mercenary guild here. There's always new people coming in at the docks, possibly find one of them. And he like bows his head to the king, and then you see him walk off. And he's like walking past the line. Just a standard guy, blonde, dirty blonde hair, blue eyes. Looks fairly like he's not fat. He's not like super muscular. He doesn't work out, but he looks like he could probably hold his own in like a fist fight. You do see a short sword on his side, but no armor. And that's really about it. If anybody, and he walks by.
Who is the first one in the queue now?
There is another guy. It's actually a woman. I'm sorry, not a guy. She's wearing a fairly nice dress. Doesn't look like she lives in poverty by any means, and she starts talking about, like vegetables getting stolen from her. She has like what she kind of pick up is she doesn't have a storefront in the marketplace because she can't afford one, but she has like a little hut, like a wooden stand that she rents from. And there's some bandits that are, or thieves, I should say, not bandits. She's having a thieving problem. And they talk about that for a little while. And the king says he will add a second patrol to the marketplace during the hours that she has been stolen from to kind of help maybe with that a little bit. She leaves. Then it's a man. He goes up and it's almost kind of similar, but his is pickpocketing. Like he keeps getting pickpocketed and he looks fairly rich. And you can tell the king is just kind of like, this is not what I need to deal with right now. Like, and you can, Esten, you see a fat coin purse just hanging off his belt for anybody to grab. And the king looks, and you see the king look down, since there's like, two people in front of you now, looks down at the purse and like his current purse that's just hanging off. And he kind of rolls his eyes and he grabs the man's hands and tries to be as nice and sincere as possible. But you can just tell that he's like, I have way more important things to deal with than this. And he's trying not to be rude. And he says, look, maybe try putting your coin purse somewhere else than just your belt. And he kind of helps shoes him away. And the guy's like still trying to talk to him, but a guard's like kind of like escorting this man out. Like he's not like making a big scene, but he's like, but that's not what I was kind of thing. And he gets not dragged away, but you know, like hurried along by a
escorted
guard
out. Halberd.
Yes. not in any forceful way. It's, you know, and then it's another woman that goes up and she talks about it's kind of the same deal. It's just common petty bullshit in a way. Like it's just things that the king, like on a big scale, bigger picture, he cannot really do anything about, like a thief here or there, pickpocketing here and there. Like that's just things that are going to happen in a big city. Like there's nothing he can really necessarily do on a lower level, except try to put some more guards on patrol, but he can't right now. And you guys keep hearing him talk about a bridge, and if anybody asks, hey, can you help with guards, like he says no, because he has to send his guards to you're starting to get a sense that there's a bridge already there, but it's not very big for like no carts can travel across it. And he wants to open up a trading route on land between the two parts of
the Brightcaster Island. So anytime anybody asks about a guard, and then finally, Esten, it is your turn to talk to the king. And he is just looking at you like, are my prayers been answered? So
he's just like standing there for a moment, and then he takes a bow before him. You remember the bow that Geralt did in taught in The Witcher 3?
Yeah.
That one. Not that bow. It's so bad.
Oh, God.
It's an Nilfgaardian bow.
One step back, and then they make you have to be like, okay, now how do you do it? And give you like four different options. And only
head down, bow. Chin to chest. And then this,
it's so funny.
Your Majesty, I hear you're looking for a Witcher.
He stands up slowly from his throne, and he is kind of looking at you wide-eyed. Yes, I sent multiple, I believe they are called Witcher contracts, to the Northern Realms.
Yes, I've picked one of these up, and I came here to work, provided you're willing to pay.
I'm a king. Of course, my good Witcher, I will pay you. You see, and he kind of looks over your shoulder at the rest of the line. And you've probably been standing here for like an hour now. He says, he looks at a guard and at gestures for him to come up. And he says, we should talk about this matter as soon as I'm done here. I will end my courts as soon as I'm done with this line. And I will give you all of the information you need and any help I could provide. In the meantime, please. And he gestures. There are like a bunch of tables that you would think that would be filled with food for like banquets. And he gestures to one of them for you to sit. And he says to the guard to go get a maid to bring out food and ale. If you're hungry from your long travels, I imagine, please. This shouldn't take any more than maybe another hour. And then we can talk in private.
Thank you, Your Majesty. And he follows the guard to the table.
Which is same room. It's just now you're not on the platform.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. It's just a light, separated little waiting area.
Yeah. And then soon after you sit down, you see the guard hurry off. And then a few minutes later, a maid comes out with a big pitcher of ale and like a big, like two maids come out. One has a big pitcher of ale and a goblet, sets that down for you. And then the other is like a platter of food, of meats, cheeses, vegetables, breads, and sits that down too as well.
Yeah. Sindarin starts eating. It's not Sindarin. Oh, sorry. viewers probably watching, Steph and I thought about Sindarin, but it's not Sindarin, it's Esten's. I'm sorry. Esten starts eating and drinking.
Perfect. All right. So now there's two more commoners that go up to the king and talk to them. Again, one of them asks for help with guards. And again, you hear him say, no, I can't, because I need all my guards at the location of this bridge that's being built, because there is a monster there. So that happens. Cass, it is now your turn to talk to the king. And you've heard every conversation, so you know exactly how this is going to go.
My king, I come from Honeybridge Farms.
Yes, I can tell you're one of the hunters there, right? I've seen you here before. Cass, yes. Was it not?
It is. As you know, I am Master Silver's apprentice.
Yes. How is he? Good health, I hope.
He is, yes. In his old age, he is weary about the farms and at the state that they are in. We're regarding guards. Now, I know your position on guards. After standing in line for a little while now and hearing you turn people away, I know you've already sent 20 guards to around 20 to help defend the borders. But as you know, the jungle is huge.
We are
vulnerable from many sides. If possible, can I ask for another 5 more with possibly chances of setting up? If you cannot provide the extra men, could you provide some form of strategy, as in setting up small checkpoints in the vulnerable areas? Master Silver, we was talking over these arrangements, and he has asked me to try and find a way to deal with the beasts that are plaguing the edges of the jungle and are preying on our animals at the farm. Some of the production of the honey, as you know, has been affected as well.
Yes, I do.
And being able to provide adequate protection for that. I mean, I'm not saying that we are defenseless. We have hunters. We have your men. We can protect it from small attacks, but numerous attacks, multiple locations, it doesn't stand a chance.
I understand your concern.
We, both me and Master, we have spoken, we have conferred with each other for a period of time. As you know, I don't know if any of your men have told you about the deer that we found in the jungles.
No, they have not. So
a few moons ago, me and the Master, we was out hunting, doing our regular thing in the jungle, as we do to provide meat for the town and for the stall in Evercroft. And we came across a beast. We didn't know what it was, but we found, prior to this, we found a deer on the floor. It was mutilated in a way we had never seen. There was attack marks on it that we had never seen, bite that we had never seen. My Master, as you know, has been around a long time, and he has never seen anything of the like. He said he doesn't know what it was, and he stopped in his tracks. He was the first time in my life I had seen him, and he was actually scared. We heard rustling bushes in front of us, and he just pronounced to run in such a loud tone I've never heard. So we just left, and we was chased to the edge of the jungle, and we don't know what it was. And then after a few nights after that, there was known as some small attacks, as you know, hence yes. Why you sent your 20 guards down. We don't know if this was the reason of the attacks or whether they had hunted the source of wild game in the jungles to extinction or till there was no more left. So they started preying on the farms and the people. Hence why you sent your guards in the first place. And I don't want them to be knocking on your door once they've dealt with Honeybrooch. So I ask you if you can help us in any way possible to reinforce the guards there, or help us with a new strategy so we can defend it from any further attacks whilst I am away trying to find a way to deal with these beasts.
You see the king lean over to an older elf that is standing next to him and says, "It looks like you were right, my friend. Today has brought some interesting events." And he looks back to you, says, he was already standing, and he gets close. He approaches you and says, I will send the 5 guards, but I think there might be someone here that could teach you a lot more about monsters than I can." And he looks over to US and says, "Witcher, why don't you join us over here?" And everybody else, like all the common folk, there's nobody left in this hall except for you guys and then guards. So now it's just you guys and the king. And he asks you, Aston, to come join the conversation.
Yeah, Aston looks up and places the cup that he was just drinking from on the table and makes his way over to the king.
So,
yes, your majesty.
First off, rude of me. Did not even ask your name.
The name is Aston. I am a witcher from the Viper School.
It is a pleasure. This is Cass Silver. He is from some of the farms up north. Cass, it's funny that you happen
to shake his hand.
Yeah.
He looks at him, slowly takes it and shakes it.
And you see, Cass, you see yellow piercing eyes and the pupils are slits like vipers.
I have heard of your kind. I didn't know the tales were true.
They are, definitely. Although I've heard that witches aren't common here. I've never heard of a monster problem here on the Vavengula Islands. I assume the problems are recent.
We have never known any problems here. I've been alive nearly 26 years, and I've never had any problems until the last like year and a half, maybe something like that. There's been rumors of beasts as I've been growing up. They've just been tales, and no, nothing came from them until recently. We've had active events where beasts have been frequent, and actual attacks and loss of life has been result of these beasts.
Well, on the continent and the northern realms, monsters have been a thing for hundreds and hundreds of years. And that's why witches were created. So yeah, I can help you with your problem, but I need to know many more things.
Well, gentlemen, before we go any farther, the contract that brought you here. Cass, you say you need help defending. What better help is than firsthand experience? Learn from this witcher. If he'll take you on adventures with him, learn from him. Learn his techniques. You might not have to go through the grueling process and have special powers. Anybody can kill a monster. They're flesh and bone, just like us. But now, the contract. I am currently building a bridge that turned out to be quite a feat and is taking a lot longer than I thought it would, and is now taking even longer due to some sort of monster. The workers there have stopped working altogether and refuse to work any longer until this monster has been dealt with. And I have sent many, many guards after this creature, and none of them come back alive.
When did all of this start?
About a week ago. Not sure what happened. It's the cliff that we have to, the space that we have to build the bridge on is a fairly large gap, and it's not in the jungle, but it is on pretty close to the exit of the jungle if you're trying to travel by land. And
right,
there's only been trade by ship, which hasn't been too much of an issue until, well, you've guessed it, monsters. Now ships are currently being attacked by flying creatures, water creatures, you name it. So trading by land, I figured, might help a little. I know they can still be attacked by creatures on land, but at least there is two routes of trade instead of just a single route by water. That is why this bridge is so important.
Is this a very big project with lots of workers and efforts involved?
Thousands of workers. It'd be like building a small village almost, it seems. The cliff that we are building over is, there's just a simple rope bridge there now, but it's hundreds of feet down. And then at the bottom, there's water. So you can imagine, you look like a smart person. You probably imagine how hard that is to build and the time it would take to build supports for the bridge to even reach the top of the cliff.
Yes, I can definitely see that. You said these, as you say it, it's about a particular monster there that causes trouble. And you said the monster attacks from this monster in the Shadow Grove started about a week ago. Am I right to assume that this monster started attacking as soon as the project began?
It wasn't after a month after the project began. I would I was trying to figure it out myself, not knowing as much as you would, but I am not sure what brought the monster here. Unfortunately, I don't have too much information on it, but they say it comes out of the jungles and it is very large.
Hmm. Right. So when did the project start?
Let's see. What date is it? It's September. I forget the day. September 8th. It is September 8th.
Mm-hmm.
Today. So that would be a little over a month now.
Okay. So the project started in August. And on the 1st of September, the first monster attack happened, correct?
Yes.
Right. Well, if it's such a big project, as you say, my first guess would be that a monster has maybe made up its lair at the edges of the jungle. And as the project of building this bridge grew bigger and bigger, it disturbed it. That's just a theory. I need to go there, look around, find tracks. You said there are no witnesses, right?
All the witnesses you will find are going to be at the workers' camp outside of Shadow Grove.
All right.
There won't be many, as from the ravens I've been receiving. It seems like only a handful have survived the attack and are pretty shaken up.
I see. Yes, I need to go there. And you, young man, you know these woods well?
I had the back of my hand.
All right, I'm going to need him as a guide. I don't know these jungles. It will be faster if he helps me.
You see the old elf wizard standing by the throne still with Katrin speak up. My lord. And yes, Rydrid. May I suggest that Katrin here goes along with them? She's very fine at spellcasting and could maybe help with some things that might help with the magical touch. And she hasn't been outside of Evercroft in a long time. And he looks at you, Katrin, and says, any objections on that?
But Mentor, I'm not comfortable for leaving the city.
Yes, but you must go out and explore the world if you want to get a better hold on magic. There's only one better way to do that, and that is to go out to the world and be put in circumstances where you have to use your magic in order to become better.
But I can use my magic in the city.
Yes, to an extent, but you must go, you see. I want you to become stronger. And he like puts his hands like on your shoulder as he's talking to you. As strong as your parents were.
Fine. I'll go with them.
The king like, ha, then it is settled. You three shall go to Shadow Grove.
One more thing, your majesty.
Yes.
The matter of payment should be discussed before.
Yes, well.
Is it as much as you said the notice promises?
Yes, 700 gold pieces.
Fair enough.
Is that a fair amount for your work? Of course, if it seems to be more of an issue, I'm sure there's some room for negotiating. But as I believe, you witchers take payments after the job's done, correct?
Indeed, you heard correct. Right. I will not haggle with you on that since it's the first contract that I do for you. So the sum is fine. Aston pulls forth the sheet of paper. That's the contract.
Mm-hmm.
Hands it to the king. Please, your majesty, your signature for that, please. So we settled on this.
Of course. And like next to the throne's like a little like end table where some ink and a quill would be, and he goes back to that and signs off with his actually no, he does not sign it. There is a candle with hot wax and stamps it with his seal. That is more legitimate than a signature. So now there is, and it's like a,
and with that I can prove with that signal with that sigil that I'm on the king's on the king's quest.
So if anybody ever questions you, you could just pull that out and they instantly know from the color. It's like goldish colored wax, like a yellowish gold. And then there is a, it's a V and a, clever bead. Yes. So it's a V and then like a C that's behind the V, and that's a stamp of approval. So he stamps it for you and then blows on it a bit, so it hardens up, and then rolls it up and hands it back to you. And he offers also, so he, if you would like to stay the night, it is already midday. There are rooms and castles for both of you, Cass and Easton. I almost called you Weston with which you're Easton. Easton. And
that's fair, Your Majesty. Yes, so I assume I have I can act freely in this endeavor, look around, ask people.
Yes, you do. You have my graces. If anybody should halt you against your contract, you deal with them as you see fit. With this seal of approval, you shouldn't have any issues, though.
So it shall be.
Yes. Cass, I will send those guards in the morning. I do not want them to get caught in the nighttime in their travels to Honeybirch. Okay.
What time of day is it right now?
It's like midday. It's like noonish. I'll leave it up to you guys. You guys can either stay in the castle, but you could, if you left like immediately on your horses, you could make it to.
I've been on the sea for months, and now I'm being offered a room in a castle.
Yeah,
I'd take a rest, a long rest.
I would like to head back to Honeybirch to inform them on the news of the guards. And I will await Estan and Catherine. I'll await your arrival there in the morning.
Good.
Sure.
Right. Well.
And so, I guess we all go to our rooms?
Yeah, you do whatever. Like I said, it's noon. Cass, you are leaving the castle. And, well, real fast before you go, Estan, I would request you to bring me the head of the monster as proof, of course. Not that I would think of you to lie in any way, but you never can be too careful with new.
Naturally, that's how I usually work. You can't be sure of that.
It is a, I will let you guys know that it is a 5-day travel. So I wish you all the luck. And if there's something that I could help you with, supplies wise or anything like that,
yes,
before you leave, come to me, either let me know now or in the morning before you leave.
Right. So yes, supplies wise, it would be good, to have all the necessary supplies like food and drink to survive the jungle. And Your Majesty, if you have, if you could spare a map for every one of us of your kingdom and of the Vavengula Islands, that would help us navigate.
To be truthful with you, I do not have a map, but there is a common goods store here that should have maps for sale.
All right, fair enough.
My liege, my master has a few different maps of the islands, and I'm sure he'd be willing to partake with them, and I can offer them to my friends as well.
Well, there you go then.
Very good. Very good.
Almost like you were all destined to be together. I love it. New beginnings.
And with that, my hopefully leisure will take my leave.
Beginning.
I must take my leave to head back before nightfall.
Safe travels, Cass.
If you excuse me, Your Majesty, I will occupy the room that you said.
Yes. And he looks at you, Katrin, and could you show Esten to his room? It'll just be one of the guest rooms.
Sure. Right this way.
Esten follows.
I will bring him to the first room available.
Yeah,
we are staying in. On our way there, he will ask you, so you've never been much out of town, I take it, right?
Well, no, but I know of the stuff around town and outside. I know of the kingdom. Why?
I just heard you that you did not feel very comfortable at going on a monster hunt.
It's not that I'm not comfortable going on a monster hunt. It's just that I'm not comfortable going away from my mentor.
How long have you served the king?
Going on 22 years now.
That's certainly a lot.
I was found as when I was little, 4 years old, by my mentor and brought into learning or training to become a sorceress.
Yeah, similar story with myself and witches.
Yeah, I've always wondered how they find people to become witches. Do they just go out and kidnap young boys?
That's the long short of it. Taking orphans, children that nobody wants, outcasts, people like that.
Sounds barbaric.
Might be, but it's the only life I've known, and so I will thrive to be the best at it. Anyway,
well,
thank you for showing my room.
Yeah, here's your room.
See you in the morning.
Yes, I will be at the front of the castle, waiting for you.
And with that, a new group of adventurers are brought together.
Yeah.
And will be going on their first adventure next time on the Chronicles of Vavengula. Thank you for everybody that's listening. We'll catch you next time.